Amen. All right, take your Bibles, Proverbs 27, verse number 8. As I mentioned this morning, the title of the message, He Flew the Coop. And I guess you could look at that in a positive way, a negative way. But we look to the principle here of wisdom in Proverbs 27, verse number 8. Proverbs 27, verse number 8. As a bird that wandereth from her nest, so is a man that wandereth from his place. Let's pray. Father, we come tonight thanking you for the privilege to assemble in the name of the Lord Jesus. Father, you put that in our hearts and you gave us that desire. Father, we're so glad tonight that we know who Jesus is and that we have called upon him to be our Savior, our Lord and King. And God, we are looking with great expectation for the bridegroom to come for the bride. And God, we're excited, Lord, that we are included because of that precious blood of Jesus. Father, we come tonight, we ask you, Lord, would you, by the Holy Spirit, according to your promise, would you help us tonight as we seek to rightly divide the Word of God and gain from the great wisdom and principles that you teach us of life and how to live it, knowing, Lord, that you are the creator, the author, and the sustainer of life, and God, that you are never outsmarted, that, Lord, your wisdom far exceeds the wisdom of this world, and, Lord, you will prove all that has been contested against thee in thy word and in thy instruction and thy teaching. Lord, you will prove it all foolish. God, help us now that we might come to the place, even in that area of life where we have not obeyed. Father, help us at least to confess that you are always right. And God, everything that you have instructed us in is right. It's the good way and the right way and the way of life and the way of blessing. Help us now, Father, we do pray and we'll give you the praise for it in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Certainly our text of Scripture calls attention to the wandering or rambling soul. And as we look here in the principle of wisdom, we know that these particular traits do not lead men down a pathway of success, whether it be in the realm of the physical, the realm of the spiritual. That there is something that promotes a greater virtue in stability and strength and dependability. We have here an illustration, a comparison that Solomon gives us. And oftentimes I'm amazed at how that God takes the simplest things of life to teach some of the most important, profound truths. You and I could go through Scripture and find out how that the Lord gave us just simple things that even a child could understand. And yet they just seem to explode with great principles of wisdom and knowledge and how to live. And so our comparison here in our Scripture is a bird that wandereth from her nest. And God is comparing that here to a man that wanders from his place. And so you and I, we stop to consider the nest. And we know that the nest for the bird represents a divine appointment. We know that God put it in the heart of all creatures, all that was needed for them to live and to provide. And God put the instinct, God put those things within nature, and God is the great wisdom behind all of His design and purpose in all living things. And we see the wisdom and watch, care, and providence of God the Father in the creation of the world. And though the world once again tried to usurp that glory that belongs to God and introduced a term many years ago called Mother Nature. And that simply was a way to bypass, listen, the true glory from some unknown mystical force and put it where it belongs in the great power and wisdom of God. God is the one that put it. And you remember God told Job to go and consider these things and how that even, a dumb creature has put within it, God put within it that which is needed for its own life and safety and to reproduce its own kind. And so as you and I consider this, let's think about this for a moment, that nest represented a divine appointment, the place for it securing a fulfillment and a purpose in life. You know how a bird glorifies God? By being a bird. That's it. That's what He created to be. Simply by being a bird. And here, the nest is by divine appointment for the provision, protection, and for the growth and development of the bird. And so God has given those appointments. God has assigned a place. You know, that's the truth for us today in physical terms, in terms of society, in terms of domestic life, in terms of spiritual life. God has shown us in the Bible that there is a place we belong. And there cannot be a true fulfillment and satisfaction in life until we discover that place and we remain in it. That's God's divine appointment. And so here tonight we have a person like a bird that leaves the nest, a person here that is unsettled and a discontent, a roving spirit, and we know that spirit never truly succeeds in any realm of life. Now I want to give you some things about this nest and relate them to the wandering spirit. First of all, the nest is a place of responsibility. Responsibility. That is, a nest primarily is a place for the raising of the young. And so the bird tends to the nest and tends to the development of the young, and that place has been provided, and so it's a place of great responsibility. That other living things depend upon that bird. And notice it says that leaves her nest. The indication here is the fact the responsibility given to the mama bird as she would take and secure those eggs and raise those chicks. In other words, here's a picture of accountability and dependability. And this is a place where God has put her. This is where God has put us all. God has put us all in a place of accountability and put us in a place of dependability. Because every person that has ever been born into this world has been given some measure of dependency and accountability. When you were born a little babe, and sometimes you still get out those little pictures, and you look at them. Wasn't he cute? Didn't last long, but he was cute for a while. Wasn't she cute? Precious little thing. I'm going to tell you something. You were a dependent creature. And if people had not been responsible and dependable, you wouldn't be alive today. Right? And so every person ever born in this world is born into this world with a measure of accountability and dependability. And so, listen, from the mama that held the baby and the baby that was being held by the mama, there was, listen, accountability and dependability interwoven together, listen, in the development of life. You know what that doesn't change? That's true in the physical realm. It's true in the spiritual realm. It's true for us emotionally. It's true for us spiritually. That in life, for you and I to live, there is this combination, there is this blending, there is this joining of accountability and dependability. We are usually in some state of the both together in our lives. There are people we depend on and people who depend on us. There are people to whom we are accountable, listen, and people who are accountable to us. And so life is established in the foundation of relationship. My first relationship that I discover that is the most vital and important is my relationship with God. Why? Because God is life. Right? I'm glad I know that, don't you? I'm glad I know that. I'm glad of this relationship of accountability and dependability has been established in our heart through the knowledge of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I am thankful, listen, that I can depend upon God. And then I'm accountable for God is looking for me, listen, to respond in kind and to hold my place and to be responsible in my service for Him and living for Him. And so God has called us and God has equipped us and God has commissioned us. So in one sense of the word, God is dependent on you. God is chosen to send forth the gospel to the world through the human instrument. Our first thought is, that's mighty risky. But listen, as I say from time to time, God chose, those who've experienced grace to be the messengers of grace. I can tell the story of how God saves a sinner. I can tell it because it is my personal story. And God will save the sinner. I know because He did it for me. I know what grace can do, for I have experienced it. I have tasted it. It is good, and God will do it for you. And so God did not send the angels to tell the story of grace, for they've not experienced it. Not in the capacity that the sinner has. And so God, has placed all living things. Now, what that means to us, that the fulfillment, contentment of life in its abundance is found in this combination of accountability and responsibility, and dependence. It is all woven in that together. Now, here's something that I really want to try to instill in the lives of our young people tonight. Some seek life and joy and contentment, satisfaction, by being free from responsibility. It cannot be discovered and experienced by a person who seeks to escape responsibility. You simply cannot find it. For in so doing, they forfeit the very things they desire. Listen, these things that we seek after, life and joy and contentment, satisfaction, cannot be experienced without responsibility. It cannot be done. Matter of fact, you are simply taking it away from yourselves, and you will not enjoy it by running from responsibility. Responsibility produces the fruits of life. Now, to run from responsibility is deny yourself the peace and joy and contentment that you seek. You and I are drawing from others. And the nest represented several things. Not only responsibility, it represented the place of rest. It represented the place of resources. It represented the refuge. It represented reassurance. Now, I hope you are blessed with a good set of parents. And even more so, I hope you had also a wonderful set of grandparents. And listen, if you did, they are fond and special memories for you. Maybe some of them are still living. Very fond, special memories. You know why? Because they provided these things in my life. God used them to create a refuge, a place of rest, a place of refreshment. My mama, who's still living with Phil's wife, Terry, and the granddaughter, Priscilla, in the old home place that was Grandpa's. And even though, it's weathered and worn, probably it'd be better to tear it down than be to fix it. Built in 1900, and it's seen its days. Struggle with the roof, you know why? Because it's got asbestos on it. And you had to get men in white suits from NASA to take the roof off. Can you imagine what that's going to cost? Has to have a special landfill for that place to be dumped, a special process. I know what it's entailed because I had to go to asbestos school, which I didn't want to go, and they went under protest. And had to go and learn all about it. A lot of things we learned, didn't care to learn, had to learn, forced to learn. And, maybe someday I'll use it, whatever. But had to go to it. And so I know the process and I know the expense. It would be enormous. But you know what that home place represents to us? It represents a refuge. It always represented a place of refreshment. You know why? Because Grandma and Grandpa were there. They were always there. And listen, they were all, listen to me, they were always dependable. And other things, in other words, the things that provided this rest, this reassurance, this comfort, this refreshing, is because of their responsibility. Their responsibility made them dependable. Anytime I knocked on that back porch door, I didn't knock on it unless it's locked. You know, as Grandma said, you just went in. And you went in and never fail. But I'd go in, I'd say, Grandma, and I'd hear, woo! Always. That was Grandma language. For I'm in here. I'm glad you're here. All summed up one word. Woo! You don't hear that anymore. That was Grandma. Grandma. And you know what comfort that brought? You know why? Because I could always depend on Grandma to love me, to receive me, to welcome me, and to make my favorite pie. And she knew you were coming, it was already made. And listen, Grandma fuss. You know, she fuss. You weigh 300 pounds, she still looking at you and say, you need to get some meat on them all. Grandma, I'm too big already. No, you're not. You need something to eat. I'll go fix you something to eat. And listen, it was a place to relax, a place to refresh, a place of stability and anchor. Why? Because we cherished the responsibility manifest in their life, and that's what made them dependable. We could always count on them. Why? Responsibility. They were responsible. They were dependable. And listen, that is what we found in them as being something that we cherished. And we often value what we find in others, but do not seek to instill it in ourselves. And so, you and I cannot find this life, this abundance, this joy, this happiness, then this contentment by escaping responsibility. It's only found in being responsible. That's the only way you'll find it. And it's the only way we have found it in the lives of others. Now that is true in both the physical and spiritual aspects of life. Jesus said in John 15, abide in me. Remain. Be steadfast. Be in the place of fellowship at all times. Walk with me. Don't let anything come between us. You stay right here, close with me. Don't let sin, the flesh of the world, get in between us, but you abide, you stay close and remain. You know what happened? He said, listen, that you'll bear fruit. You'll bear fruit. Not only fruit, but also, listen, there's fellowship. For if you abide in me, he says in that same chapter, then we will come and make our abode with you. That is, you'll know our presence. You will know that we are present with you. Is that not the thrill of the Christian life? Is the evidences of God being present? Well, that's the great thrill. The great thrill of Christian life. And then also, not only fruit, fellowship, but also the favors. You remember what he said, if you abide in me, you just ask what you will, and it shall be done. The great benefit and blessing and promise concerning prayer from having abide in Him and walk sweetly and closely with the Lord. And so, listen, you and I understand here is a man, he leaves his place. It's like a bird that leaves a nest. He's leaving that responsibility. And in doing so, he thinks he's going to find joy and peace and life and abundance. The truth is, he will not find it because it's only found in submitting to that responsibility and being in the place where God wants us to be, physically, domestically, spiritually. We need to be in the place where God would have us. That's the place of contentment and the place of fulfillment and joy in our life. So what does God want me to do? What does God have me do? Listen, we spend a lot of time over the unknown things of the will of God. The truth is, we'd be better off if we just simply did what we knew the will of God was. You say, well, I'm not sure, listen, what job God wants me to have. Well, what are you sure of? Well, I'm sure God wants me to be in my Bible. I'm sure God wants me to be in a prayer closet. I'm sure God wants me to be in the house of the Lord when we come time to worship. I'm sure he wants me to share the gospel to my unsaved friend. Listen, quit focusing so much on these things that you ain't quite figured out yet, because you're not doing things you're supposed to be doing. And if you'll be in the place, you know where God's going to share with you and reveal to you the will of God? In that place. In that place. Listen, if you'll walk with the Lord, here's the promise I give to every young person, especially those who are thinking about ministry and other things. If you will be in the place where you know God's will is, that's where God will meet you with any future steps and directions that He has to go. You will not miss the will of God if you're walking in fellowship with Him. You won't miss it. You and I know what it's like sometimes. Listen, we hadn't talked to the family, and we hadn't talked to listen to some different people, and all of a sudden something happens. We didn't know about it. Well, when did brother have surgery? I didn't even know he had surgery. You know why you didn't know he had surgery? Because you ain't talked to him. There ain't been no fellowship. Sometimes it happens at church. Sometimes at church. I didn't know so-and-so was in trouble. I guess not. You ain't been here. You see, that fellowship, when we fellowship with God, we're not going to miss out. We're not going to miss. Listen, God will lead and guide and direct our paths, and we will know the will of God because we walk with Him and talk with Him every day. And God will lead us step by step, every step. And so listen, rather than worrying about all these things in the distant future, listen, just do what God would have you do and be in the place where He wants you every day. And listen, you'll not miss out on the will of God. He'll guide you, show you. And I understand that many of the great failures we read about in our Bible characters is because in the wrong place at the wrong time. Think about the terrible tragedy that scarred David's life, gave occasion for the enemies to blaspheme. You know what started? David was in the wrong place at the wrong time. He should have been leading the army into battle, but he stayed home. Stayed home. And boy, that's when it all started. Too much time on his hands. And next thing you know, listen, sin does follow. Look at Samson. Samson hanging out the wrong place at the wrong time. And listen, Samson thought because of his strength and his mighty power, listen, that he could never be enslaved, he could never be beaten, never be defeated. And the man, she took him down, listen, like he was absolutely nothing. And listen, just like David, what happened? Samson was shamed, made a laughing stock. Tied him up, laughed, mocked him, put his eyes out. God avenged him for that final act of faith when he pulled the whole house down upon the rest of them. He died in the process. But look at the shame. Abraham and Isaac, you know what they did? They got in trouble in Egypt. You know why? Wrong place at the wrong time. They were not where God wanted. So you and I understand that the right place is the place of obedience to the Word and to the will of God. And listen, all other places really serve to undermine the quality and blessing of our life if I am not where God wants me to be. And so sin reverses divine appointments. There are a lot of people not where they should be spiritually, physically, domestically, because of the wisdom of the world, and they have simply walked away from the divine appointments of God, and they wonder why they're so discontent, dissatisfied, and why they do not have the joy and peace. It's found in the will of God, where God wants us to be. That's where it's found. And listen, we all fight the battles, and sometimes we get weary. And sometimes, listen, you know what? Sometimes we don't feel like being responsible. Right? I'm tired of carrying this load. You ever been there? Of course you have. Of course you have. How many times? I ain't doing it anymore. Had enough. But listen, when we do that, if we follow through that, we will forfeit the joy and peace and contentment that God has for our life. Because that's where it's found. You see. And you and I, we treasure dependability. We treasure faithfulness. We treasure it in our life, those who've been responsible all these years. And you know what? We have benefited greatly because of them. Many of the fruits and things that we enjoy have been because of the responsibility of others. Now listen, you and I enjoy spiritual blessings because of the faithfulness of Jesus Christ. And we've been made rich by Him. because he was faithful and obedient even to the death of the cross. You and I, listen, we are blessed materially. Perhaps maybe because of your fathers and grandfathers and before that who are responsible and dependable. And listen, it has brought great fruit to their life, and now you have benefited and blessed because of it. And so in every realm of life, we treasure it. We recognize the virtue of it. We recognize the blessings it's brought to our life. Then certainly we ought to, listen, to realize that in our own lives that the responsibility is important. Now, let me say this. The nest served not only as a place of responsibility, but it served as a place of rest. The deep and true rest of the soul cannot be discovered or experienced by avoiding responsibility. You just can't do it. You know what? There's always something nagging in your soul when you ain't doing right. Huh? Come on. Don't quit on me. If you didn't do what you're supposed to do, and you didn't do it right, and you weren't true to responsibilities, it will always be a thorn in your time of rest. It will plague you. It will nag at you. But what great rest there is when we have done what we're supposed to do and the best we know how, we did it for the Lord and we did what was right and we gave it our all. Listen, that gives you a greater rest down to the depths of your soul. And so there cannot be a true rest without responsibility. That nest was a place of rest by divine appointment for the bird. And the bird wandered away. I just like a man who leaves his place. He will leave the real rest that God intended for him. There is something peaceful. There is something calming. There is something of a sense of goodwill in a person's life when they have done something and they did it right. It just brings a blessing into their life. And it's related to the rest that we enjoy. There's always a few little phrases I've always picked up on, enjoyed from the years of watching Mayberry. And I'll never forget when Opie had some big plans to play ball with the kids. And his daddy reminded him, Andy reminded him, no, this Saturday you're cleaning out the garage. That did not go well. And so after several conversations, he had to go clean out the garage. And so he spent Saturday cleaning out the garage. He came down to the office after having completed the task. And Andy said, now listen, doesn't that give you a good feeling? Opie is a kid, a little smart aleck kid. He said, yeah, good and tired. Good and tired. But the truth is, when you and I, when we have done our best for Jesus, it promotes a quality of rest that you cannot. Listen, an unsettled soul, an unrestful spirit is always the product of one who tries to escape responsibility. And you cannot enjoy it. You cannot enjoy it. I find that nest not only a place, listen, of rest, but also a place of resources. Listen, it was the meeting place for provision. Listen, it was appointed for the necessities of all. Whether it be the nurturing of the mother, whether it be the food providing here through the mother and father, whether it be for the chicks, it was the place where the provisions were bought and where protections were designed. And so these appointed places that God has for us is the places of His resources where God provides for us. And listen, there are glorious and wonderful things for us if we are found in the will of God. We have not, of course, because we ask not. But many things God could not give us because we were not in the right place. I wonder how many blessings have been forfeited because we were not in the place God wanted us to be. God delights in giving, and there is no end to the measure of God's favors. But God is not an enabler in man's sinful ways. And God is not going to reward an irresponsibility a lack of dependability and faithfulness. God doesn't reward it. And how much is missed out because we're not in the place. I wonder how many great spiritual truths God would have for those who had been in the right place in opening their Bible and seeking for the voice of God. How much Bible truth and Bible knowledge that was directly designed by God to meet you where you're at in your life and in your situation. And listen, it would have been something you would have cherished and been a source of strength and perhaps things that were life-changing. But you know what? You were not in your place to receive it. I wonder how many prayers God would have answered and great things He would have done. But listen, you were not there in the prayer closet to ask. And so therefore, so many things of God's favors, have not been experienced because we were not in the place God wanted us to be. That mother bird and father bird would come. And listen, they would bring those provisions back to an appointed place. To that nest. And now we find here that the resources either provided for or not being provided for because they were not in the place. Our place is in worship. Our place is in the Word of God. Our place is in God's will. But I see, listen, the nest represented not only responsibility and rest and resources, but also it also supported and represented relationship. When the bird wandered away and left the nest. Listen, it affected relationships. The relationships, listen, of the other bird as well as the baby birds, it affected all relationships. It was an appointed place for the support system of life. As we mentioned, lives are built upon these relationships. And we have here, that it was the appointed place to fulfill those relationships. You know what? God knows what we need. God knows who we need. And God knows who needs us. And so what does God do? He puts us in the place. He puts us in the place. I've shared this with you a couple of times over the years. When I got a call from a preacher in South Carolina, and how he knew anything about y'all, I have no idea. I don't remember. But he called me from Anderson, South Carolina. He said, "Brother Tondy," I said, "Yeah." He said, "There's a place you need to go." And I said, "I'm doing just fine where I'm at, brother." The preacher's name was Rocky Culpepper. He's a pastor down in Florida now, but at that time, he said, "No, there's a place that would be just right for y'all." And I said, "Well, brother," I said, "as far as I understand, I'm in that place." And he said, "Well, I'd like to give him your name." I said, "Well, Brother Rocky, I'm happy where I'm at." And he said, "Are you scared for me to give him your name?" I said, "Well, I wouldn't say scared." I said, "I just think it's unnecessary." He said, "Well, I really just felt led to give him your name." And Donald Jeffries called me. And we were talking on the phone. He said, "I know what it's like to be a pastor. We'll fly you up on a Thursday and preach, and we'll have you back Friday morning. Nobody knows you're gone. Will you come?" I didn't want to come. I didn't know you had nothing personal. I didn't know y'all nothing about the place. You were in the South. That was a good benefit. I just didn't want to come. That's fine. But I thought, well, you know, I'll go. I'll go and see. And so, to make a long story short, we came back, preached, and Rhonda said, "You were rough on them men." I said, "What?" I said, "That's not my nature." I said, "I was not." She said, "You were too." She said, "In the question and answer thing, you were rough on them." And I said, "I was not." And I said, "What did I say?" And she said, "So I said, I didn't say it like that." She said, "You did too. I was sitting in there." And then she said, "And I know why." I said, "Well, you seem to have all the answers. You just go ahead and do it." And she dropped another bomb on me, Brother Tim. She said, God wants you to come here and you don't want to come. That made me mad as a hornet. That's last week's message, right? I was mad as a hornet. You know why I was mad as a hornet? Because she is right. And that made it worse. It's bad enough to be wrong, but when your wife is right, that's just double. So I went home, and I got my prayer closet, and I said, now, Lord, if this is your will, how come I don't want to go? That don't make sense. The Lord put it on my heart. I knew why. I've shared this with you before. I had must have been a dozen widow ladies, and I was young enough in those days to be considered the grandson. And I was all their grandsons. And we had a time together. And I said, Lord, I know why. Because I can't bear to tell them I'm leaving. And you know what? The Lord met me in the place. And I'm telling you, this thought came directly from God. I ain't never considered in my life. And this thought came directly. The Spirit of God put this thought in my mind. If I want you there, I want somebody else here, because I don't love them less and love them more. I love them the same. The will of God never hurts someone else at the expense of other people. He loved the widow lady as much as he loved y'all. And you know what God put on my heart? You're in the way down here. You're in the way. I've got somebody better suited for this place. You're in the way. What they need, I'm going to send them. And it's better for them. And what I want for you is to go there. I got up from that prayer closet. The burden was gone. Burden completely lifted. Completely gone. You know why? Because I felt like I was going to hurt them to come here. Truth is, God let me know I was hurting them by staying. Because if God wanted me here, he had somebody else to go there, better suited for that ministry. And that's when the burden was gone. The only reason I got that is because I went to the place God wanted me to go, poured out my soul. God met me in that place, answered my need, gave me liberty, gave me direction, lifted my burden. You see, God has a place for us. All his blessings, all his favor, all his encouragement, all the blessings he sends us is at an appointed place. We have to be there to receive it. To receive it. I don't want to miss out on anything that God has for me. I don't want to miss out on it. And so every day, I got to be in the place. Let me close again with those thoughts. So important. Life, joy, peace, contentment, all that we're seeking for will never be found in a life that seeks to escape responsibility. It'll only be found when we submit ourselves to it. Then God will meet us in that place and bring fulfillment to our lives. Let's pray.